Welcome, Hoops fans, to another electrifying episode of our Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast, where anticipation meets strategy and young talents prep for a leap into basketball greatness.
My name is Matt Hanifin. With the draft night just around the corner, the basketball world is buzzing with speculation and excitement. Who will be the number one pick this year? Will there be any shocking trades or unexpected decisions that surprise fans and analysts alike? It's the time when dreams become reality and future superstars are shaped.
Let's dive into the top prospects that everyone has their eyes on. These young athletes have shown incredible potential and are ready to make a big splash. Just imagine the electrifying dunks and game-changing plays they're about to bring to the court. Each team is on edge, plotting strategies, making moves, in hopes of securing the next cornerstone player who could lead them to a championship. Are you ready for the wheeling and dealing and potential blockbuster trades that can reshape the NBA landscape? And of course, we can't forget the fans, the backbone of the league. It's your passion that fuels the energy of draft night. Your cheers, predictions make this journey even more thrilling. What are your thoughts? Do you already have a favorite pick for your team? So buckle up, basketball enthusiasts, because the Hoops Profile Beyond the Backboard podcast is set to be a night of surprises and opportunities. Stay tuned as we keep you updated with every leap, pass, slam dunk leading up to this monumental event. Let the countdown begin with your host, A Digital Adele, and my co-host,
Matt Hanifin. Welcome to Fadeaways on Figueroa. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thanks for joining me on today's episode. This one might also be a short episode as well. I just wanted to get a little game recap and preview of Game 4 and Game 5, which is happening tomorrow night. I'm recording this on Tuesday morning before work. And Lakers drop Game 4 in Minnesota. They lose by 3 points, 116 to 113, in a game where they were up by 10 going into the fourth quarter, and we'll get into some of that, the reasonings for their, but they played terrible in the fourth quarter, so we'll get into the reasonings for why they played terrible in the fourth quarter, or at least part of the reason. And this is, I think, the fourth game this series, you know, all four games, the Lakers have been terrible in the fourth quarter. They have not been able to close out games. They have not been able to complete runs, stop runs from happening, make runs happen, to take bigger leads, to push, you know, even in the game that the Lakers won in game two, they had a huge lead for most of that game. And in the fourth quarter, they let things slide and they ended up winning by 9 points, but they had been up by, I think close to 20 at different points in the game. So just it's been a bad series in general. I mean, Luka has been really good. LeBron's been really good. Austin Reeves has had like one and a half good games. And then other than that, I mean, Rui's had some pieces where he looked good, but some pieces where he's looked really bad. Like I've said before, Jackson Hayes has been unplayable. Just a really tough series in general. The Lakers role players have not played well. Gabe Vincent hasn't done anything. Jordan Goodwin hasn't done anything. Dorian Finney-Smith, he's been out there. He's hit a couple threes, but he hasn't really done much either. So just I've seen a lot of people on Twitter, you know, Luka fans mostly, or Mavs fans, just saying like Lakers fans are blaming Luka on this series, blah, blah, blah. It's like anyone that knows ball, anyone that has watched the series that knows what they're talking about. You had one bad Luka game, but it's because he was sick. So you kind of have to give a pass on that, obviously. But anyone that's been watching the series knows that the Lakers are only in these games because of Luka and LeBron. Luka's played great offensively. LeBron's played well offensively. Defensively, maybe, you know, they've been the Timberwolves have been setting screens to switch Anthony Edwards and Julius Randle onto Luka. So he's had a tough assignment there to try and, you know, not give up. I mean, those are tough guys to guard no matter who you are. It's no secret that Luka isn't the best defender in the NBA. He does have some size to him, so if, you know, when he goes down there, he's not necessarily getting totally bodied. He's able to put a body on guys and stuff. But for the most part, like, it's no secret that that Luka's not a great defender. So they're switching on to Luka. So he has a tough situation defensively, but offensively he's been good. He's put up good numbers, and I would in no way, I will speak on behalf of Lakers fans to say that this series, Lakers being down 3-1, is not Luka's fault. If it's anyone's fault, it's the role player. I mean, yes, you need your superstars to play well, which they have. LeBron and Luka have played well. LeBron's been really good defensively. He's been good offensively. The one thing that's interesting, and I'll get into this in a sec, but before I get there, if there's one person or one group to blame, it's the role players, in my opinion. You can't win a playoff series, let alone a championship, on the backs of two superstars. You have to have some role players step up. Even, you know, think back 2 years ago when the Lakers made it to the Western Conference Finals and eventually got swept by Denver. Like, to win that Grizzlies series and the Warriors series, we had Austin Reeves step up and play really well, put up 20-plus points in games. We had Rui step up and put up 20-plus points in games. And then you have Anthony Davis and LeBron, who did do what they do. But you need to have guys, role player type guys, step up and play well. Maybe it's not putting up 20 plus points a game, but knocking down the open threes when you get them. And the Lakers, going into this series, people were talking about how bad the Lakers have played in Minnesota, and they continue to do it. I don't know if it's the crowd, if it's really loud in there. It seems like it's loud on TV, but you know, I don't know what the situation is there, but it's a tough, seems like a tough place to play. So going back to game four, the Lakers, and speaking of the role players, second half of the game, J.J. Redick he made zero subs in the second half. And that's the thing, like that, once we saw that, it's like, okay, Lakers aren't winning a championship. Could the Lakers come back and win in seven games against Minnesota? Sure. I mean, with LeBron and Luka, like, you kind of think like almost anything's possible in that sense. But when you have your coach think that like they're desperate for a win, that was a must-win game. You go down 3-1, and it's real hard to come back. I mean, you can do it, but it's real hard to come back. That was a must-win game to try and even the series and going back to LA. That would have been huge for the Lakers. And and you're in a desperate situation, and you have your head coach making zero subs. That says everything you need to know about the state of the Lakers team right now. The role players can't play. The bench players can't play. They're giving LeBron and Luka zero help. I mean, you have Austin Reeves he's been good for like a game and a half. You have glimpses of Rui being well. Dorian Finney-Smith has hit a couple threes, but it's like not near the type of production you need. So the Lakers, you know, they play a terrible fourth quarter. They only scored 19 points. They got outscored by, gosh, what was it? I'll pull it up. But they get outscored. Again, they're up by 10 going into the fourth quarter. Only put up 19 points, lose the game. Lose the game by 3. It was a close game, very winnable. Let's see, 32-19. They lost that fourth quarter. After they just won the third quarter, 36-23. It was a back and forth game from the beginning, pretty much. Lakers were hanging in there, and then in that fourth quarter, you only put up 19 points. And that's kind of crazy when you think about it with both LeBron and Luka. You can only score 19 points in a quarter. And I think J.J. Redick took a gamble, right? He said, I'm going to put this game on the backs of what I think are my five best guys, and hope, you know, we have LeBron and Luka on our team, so I think we'll be able to pull out the win, especially being up, you know, they had built a 10-point lead in the fourth quarter. And the thing is, they built that 10-point lead in the third quarter by Austin Reeves and Rui playing really well. I don't know off the top of my head how many points they had in that quarter, but they played really well in that quarter. And it got the Lakers up a 10-point lead, and so J.J. Redick continues to not sub. So you have LeBron, who's 40 years old, he's gassed. Luka, who, I don't know. I mean, there's those allegations by the Mavericks, right, ownership and stuff that he's out of shape and overweight. And overall, he's played really well with the Lakers. Could it help him to lose a few pounds and get some muscle and stuff? Maybe, sure, whatever. But he still plays pretty good for what he's got. So I'm not complaining myself. But to play a complete second half with no breaks for anybody is difficult. And the Lakers just couldn't do it. They give up. They let them come back. There was a few things. So there was a play where Luka, with like 30 seconds left, gets tripped. He falls to the ground. I think the Lakers were able to call a timeout, but they had to waste a timeout in order to not lose possession of the ball. And later, yesterday, it came out that the referees confirmed that it was an illegal tripping by the Timberwolves and should have been called a foul. So the Lakers would have gotten free. First of all, they wouldn't have had to burn a timeout, and they would have gotten free throws. And I forget off the top of my head where we were at from a score standpoint, but it was either tied or Lakers may have been up by one or down by one. So it could have been a pivotal change, right? Lakers only ended up losing by three. And there was another play. LeBron makes what looks like a really good defensive play, hits the ball out of, I think it was Anthony Edwards. He hits the ball out of someone's hand. It hits their leg, goes out of bounds. Lakers ball is the call. The Timberwolves challenge it. And this is what I don't like about the NBA challenges, as opposed to, like, I think the NFL challenges, they're a little more constrained by the call that was made on the field, right? So, like, in the NBA, they'll make a call, right? This case, call Lakers ball. The challenge, the coach makes a challenge of the play. So not only are they challenging the call, but they're able to just basically re-litigate the entire play. And it's one of those things where it's like, when it goes in the Lakers' favor, I like it. But when it goes in against the Lakers, I don't like it, kind of thing, I guess. But, like, in this case, during the review, they see that LeBron hit the hand of, I forget who it was. It was like McDaniels or Edwards, I think. Hits the hand instead of the ball. So they say, not only is it not the Lakers' ball, because it should have been, but before it went out of bounds, LeBron made illegal contact, so it's a foul, and here's free throws to the Timberwolves, which made it, at that point, Timberwolves were up by one, so it made it a three-point game. And I don't know, I personally don't like that you can just relitigate the play when you're reviewing it. I think, like, I don't think the NFL does that. I think the NFL, it's like, you're challenging the call on the field, and they can't just, like, redo the play, you know, or recall the play based on what they're seeing on the camera. I just think, like, I understand that instant replay is there to help referees correct the call and stuff, but it wasn't called a foul. It wasn't, they didn't see the foul there. It wasn't called a foul. And you wouldn't be able to, if in any other case, if there was a non-call, right? If that had happened, and let's say the ball doesn't go out of bounds, the Lakers just get a steal, the Timberwolves wouldn't have been able to challenge that. So you wouldn't have gotten those free throws. So that, I think for me, that's the issue. It's like, you can't challenge a non-call. The call wasn't on the foul. The call was out of bounds. So you should only be litigating the out of bounds call. And maybe, I don't know, is that like an old school way of thinking? I don't know. But, like, in my opinion, I just think that I just hate how the NBA, it's like, you just never know what you're going to get with these challenges, where it's, they make a call and it's like, oh, well, we saw on the other side of the court that Rui Hachimura made an illegal screen. And that happened before the ball went out of bounds. And so, therefore, foul on the, like, that kind of stuff just makes me kind of mad. So, not to say that it was the wrong, I mean, that's just the rules, how the rules are set up. So I'm not complaining about the refs there. I don't think that's, like, a bad call. I just don't like how the challenge system is in the NBA, where, again, to me, this is the perfect argument. If the Lakers got in a steal there, there was no whistle, the ball didn't go out of bounds, the Timberwolves can't challenge that play. But because the ball went out of bounds, they can challenge a non-call on the foul there, just because the refs are seeing it happen. It's like, I don't know. I understand it happens, and I'm not arguing that it wasn't a foul. I mean, he hit his hand, his wrist, and then the ball goes out of bounds. So I'm not arguing that it's bad, but I just think that, like, I don't know. I think there's something in the imperfections at times that, I don't know, maybe the thing is, if it was the other way around, I wouldn't be talking about this, but I do think it's inconsistent, and I don't like the inconsistency that the Timberwolves wouldn't have been able to challenge the play if there was no stoppage in play. That I think is what is annoying to me. So, and at the end of the day, Lakers lose. So I think the Lakers losing game one is really what killed the Lakers here, assuming the Lakers don't win this series. Because at the end of the day, like, you assume the home team is going to win a game, right? So the Timberwolves steal home court advantage, and then it's up to the Lakers. Now they have to go and steal it back. They have to win a game in Minnesota where they haven't won in a long time. They have trouble playing there for whatever reason. You're in a, your opponent's environment. It was loud. The Minnesota fans were super into it and whatnot. So just that game one loss at home, you can't come out sluggish like that. You just got to come out and knock your opponent's back and knock their teeth in and get that win in game one. And the fact that that didn't happen, I think I wasn't seeing it at the time because I was like, well, it's just one game. But looking back on it now, it's like, oh, Minnesota, they came to play. They're not afraid of the Lakers. They're big, they're physical, and that poses an issue for the Lakers. And it has. The Lakers are down 3-1. They play tomorrow, game five. Now it's very much a must-win game, right? The Lakers lose that game and the series is over. So I'm cautiously hopeful. You come back home, you're in a must-win. Lakers are in a must-win situation. T-Wolves are up 3-1. Things like this happen. You get a little stagnant. You get complacent if you're the T-Wolves. And the Lakers come out and they have to get a win, right? So I could see the Lakers getting a win here. But I just still don't think it won't happen unless you get a really good Austin Reaves game, a really good Rui game, maybe get DFS to hit a few threes, right? Like Gabe Vincent to hit a couple threes. You need a full, complete team out there playing. And so far, I think, like, I don't know. I just think that the Lakers role players are playing. I don't know if the game's too fast for them, if they're afraid of the Timberwolves' physicality. I'm not totally sure what it is, but they have not come to play this whole series. And Lakers need to get that cleaned up in the offseason. And I will say, I mean, and I can't remember if I mentioned this on the last episode or not, but with this Luka trade, the Lakers team isn't constructed how Rob Pelinka wants it to be, right? They tried to trade for Mark Williams. That didn't work out. They don't have a playable big man. You can't – I don't care, like, what the NBA situation is, right? If there's three-point – it's not how it used to be where you had Shaq posting up guys, right? That's not how the NBA is anymore, but you still need a viable big man to win a championship in the NBA. You need it. Every team that's won a championship in recent memory has had a viable big man. Even the Warriors. I mean, can I remember them off the top of my head? No, but you just have to have size in basketball. And so the Lakers don't have that. They don't. I mean, they have size, like I've said. Like, LeBron's big, Luka's big, Rui's big. They do have some size, but they don't have the length. They don't have that big center, big man to help rim protect and that kind of thing. It's like, if the perimeter defense isn't good, it's just way too easy for the Timberwolves to get to the hoop, to get those pain points. So, am I surprised by this in hindsight? No, I think the way the Lakers ended the season, getting up to that third seed, I was just blindly optimistic. Like, wow, the Lakers are actually playing good. They're the third seed. But I failed to realize that, one, that even though the Timberwolves are the sixth seed, they're only one game apart from the Lakers. Lakers won 50 games, and the Timberwolves won 49 games, right? So they're actually way more even. And I know people are talking about this, but they're way more even than than I, at least for me, I was thinking about. And then the roster construction. This team, as much as Luka and LeBron have done a good job to disguise this team as a potential championship contender, like, I just don't, after this series, it's like, yeah, no, this, you need that big man. And at this point, if the Lakers do lose in five, even if they lose in six, everyone on the team becomes tradable. I mean, maybe not Luka. You wouldn't trade Luka, but I think, I know LeBron's trying to, I think he's going to restructure his contract is what it sounds like, but Austin Reeves, Rui, all those guys tradable. I mean, I just bring in what you need around Luka, build around Luka. If Austin Reeves isn't it, that's fine. I mean, Lakers are only paying him like $13 million anyway, but like he's been, I like Austin Reeves. He was great in the regular season. Not great in the playoffs this year. He was really good against Memphis. He was good against the Warriors a couple years ago. I'm not saying he's not the guy. And if you're only paying him $13 million, then maybe it's worth keeping him around. But you just have to build a roster around Luka that will allow for the team to play its best. And right now, I just don't think you have that. And again, no one's fault. You make a trade for Luka, you don't pass that trade up, but it messed up the roster. And now the Lakers are not built right. You don't have the rotations are weird. You don't have a big man. You're literally playing with LeBron at the five, and he's 40 years old. Like, that just isn't viable. And if the Lakers go and somehow make a miraculous comeback and go on a run, then I'll eat my words. That's fine. But I don't think anyone needs to act too surprised or too bummed about the Lakers losing this series. I mean, do I feel bummed when it's happening? Yes. I think the Lakers could win every game that they play. That's the whole point of sports, right? You have hope in your team that they can win every game they play, no matter who they're playing. But if I'm taking a step back and thinking about it analytically and logically and stuff, it's like, yeah, this team, it wasn't built for a long playoff run. So, and again, that's no one's fault. That just is what it is. That's what happens when you make a trade towards the end of the trade deadline and don't have time to fill those gaps and make more moves. So, hopefully the Lakers can take game five, send it back to Minnesota for game six. At that point, do I have much hope the Lakers will win? No, but at that point, anything can happen. When you have LeBron and Luka, I think it'll gives you hope, whether or not that's realistic hope or not. When you have those guys out there putting up 25 plus points, you know, pushing 40 points in a game, like I think, I think it can give you hope. And again, that goes back to the role player thing. You had Luka putting up 38 points. I think he had 38 points in game four. LeBron had, I think, 26 points. And, you know, barely anything else from everyone else. And again, you had a good quarter from Rui. You had a good second half from Austin Reeves, but it's not enough. You can't have, I don't know. I talked about this a lot back in the 2020 season time frame, 2021, back when the Lakers had, you had LeBron, Anthony Davis. You always need a third guy to step up, whether it's you know, a third superstar that just is always kind of stepping up, or if it's various role players that take turns stepping up. You always need a third guy, and the Lakers just have not had that this series. So hopefully the Lakers find that third guy going on for the rest of the series and can make some things happen. But yeah, it's one game at a time. So hopefully Lakers can take game five at home tomorrow and then back to Minnesota for game six. But we will see what happens. Thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Fadeaways on Figueroa. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review and share on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Spotify, Apple, or most places you get your podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers!